Blog Talk Radio.
Man, you gotta love that bell, especially when it rings 50,000 times. But for the people listeners, you're here. You're at United Wrestling Council Radio with their host, Bobby Chulo. I was supposed to have Jackie Cataline co-hosting with me today, but she's not. Although, I don't know what happened. She was good to go. She said awesome. She's ready to roll. I shot her a text and let her know that I'd be calling her, called her, got the voicemail. So hopefully what I did was I sent her the guest calling number, which is, for the people listening to us, 563-999-3016. I'm going to give that number out again real quick just in case you're listening. It's 563-999-3016. If you want to call in and talk, I'm going to have a little time in this opening segment because I was going to talk to Jackie about the Senior Nationals. But since we have a little time, we'll move on to something else. And towards the end of the show, I might make a call to somebody because I want to talk a little bit AEW of All Elite Wrestling, because I was so happy when it first came out, and now to me it seems like a total joke. And I don't want to say that because I know so many people from out there, but we're going to talk about that when we get there. But coming up at about the 7:15 mark, DJ Vos, hopefully everybody answers their phone this time, but DJ Vos, for the people who don't know, is just a workaholic when it comes to Lucha Libre and putting on shows and working on stuff like that. He's got a big thing coming up, for lack of a better term, I don't want to say show, big thing coming up called Day of the Dead. Bicultural celebration. They're going to have luchas. They're going to have all kinds of stuff going on over there in 1st of November. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. Talk to him a little about, I think he's establishing a new relationship with Conan. He's going to start bringing him into the mix. And I want to talk to him a little bit about professionalism. So I want to talk to DJ Vos about that because that's the man to talk to. So talk to him a little bit about that. And at about the 7:45 mark, we're going to have on John Thomas from Blue Collar Wrestling. I want to talk a little bit about training during this COVID, getting ready, because it seems like it's starting to get back into the swing of things as far as grappling is concerned. You know, and he put out some new gear, and I really like it. I like the spats. I'm going to see how much those are. I'm willing to support, you know, and get that out there if I really like your stuff. So Conca Fight Gear has some really clean stuff. Of course, I worked for OTM for years. They Scramble is Kazushi Sakuraba's brand. And that's what I was trying to get. I was trying to get some of his Scramble gear to wear when I wrestle. But, man, that stuff, as soon as they get it, it's out. It's just – and it's not cheap. I'll tell you that right now. So I definitely want to talk to JT about that, talk a little bit about 10th Planet Long Beach, and talking about – he's got some new masks made, you know, for the COVID. So we'll talk to him about that and where we can pick it up and stuff. Because he's local. He's in Long Beach. You know, of course, that 10th Planet Long Beach is just killer. They rebounded from, you know, being burned down. So we want to talk to them a little bit about that, where they're at now, where they're training, because it's, you know, a lot of places are starting to open up. So we want to talk about that. So get to them in a minute. Hopefully Jackie will call so we can talk to a little bit about her. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, we did a show, Nicolette Marie and I did a show in Laguna Hills this last Sunday. And it was, I don't want to say, it wasn't like, it was a new promoter that I've never worked for before. His name is Richard Garcia. And we talk about work, you know, people who put in work. This dude, I think, you know, I caught little bits and pieces of where everybody was from. Because RJ, I've worked for before. He's put on shows over at the Lucha Arena. And I've worked for him before, so I'm real cool with him. He's, you know, always calling to put me on shows, working for him and stuff like that. He lets me do what I want. So he called me and said, hey, I'm working for this guy. His name is Richard. He's, you know, putting together a big show. It's going to be in Laguna Hills. Nice area. I'm like, all right, cool, man. So when I'm checking out Richard, this guy, man, spent the whole weekend. He came down on Friday. He did like some acoustic type of Mexican folk music type of concert that he put on. And then that Saturday morning, he went to downtown LA and sold some shoes, because he brought some shoes that he makes or whatever. He sold those in the morning. And then they did like a rock concert that Saturday night in LA, and then Sunday was the big wrestling show. So Nicolette Marie and I take off. Show started at Doors opened at 5. Show started at 6. So we call time was 3 o'clock. So we got there a little before 3, went to a nice area, went to Starbucks, got some Starbucks cake. Biagio, Crescenzo, Vito Fratelli, guys like that were already there nice and early. So we got a chance to kick back, talk to them, whatever. Nice area. I mean, spotless. I think it was like a Lutheran church or whatever, but it was really nice. So we're talking and we're like, you know, this is really the first big event where people can come to a show and actually sit in the crowd. It's a live, you know, because the ones that Nicolette Marie was doing was in the drive-in where you had to sit in your car. And I don't even know if you were allowed to get out of your car or whatever. So we talked a little bit about it. It was cool. The setup was really cool because they had the ring up on like a rock stage. It had all kinds of lighting and stuff like that. So the concept was good. But to sit in your car and watch it, to me, was a different story. You just, it's just not the same. You can't get into it. So this was the first one that was really like that. So everybody came in. They had a lot of employees. They made sure they separated everybody so that, you know, everybody had a mask on and everybody was kind of separated. By the time the wrestling started, people got a little bit close together, but for what it's worth, they pretty much stayed apart. So we're in the back getting dressed. We're talking. And, you know, there were some people I hadn't seen in a long time. Acero Dorado, Piloto, hadn't seen them guys in a long time, so it was cool to talk to them. The guys I wrestled, it was myself and Hades with Nicolette Marie against Baby Power Genesis and Poder Infernal. Great guys, man. I hate to pull back the curtain or whatever, but these guys were great to work with. True professionals. Everything worked out really well. But when we got out there, when they hit my music and Nicolette Marie and I started walking out, walked out that door, it was packed. I mean, it was packed to the rafters. There was just a little walkway that you can get to the ring and get to the, like, you know, on the outside where they keep everybody back. There was maybe, I would say, 6 to 7 feet before the ring because it was so packed. Huge crowd. I'm going to say maybe 100 to 125, maybe even a little bit more. I mean, it was really packed. Great show. Everything went off without a hitch. Everybody was happy. Everybody got taken care of. The show was great. We left before the main event because, we got to come home because we got to go to work the next day or whatever. But when I saw online with the main event, people were throwing money, and not just throwing singles, 20s. I saw some 10s. I saw some 5s. They threw some serious money in that ring. So the guys, I think it was Piloto and Leon Negro and somebody else against Biagio, Vito Fratelli, and Acero Dorado. Oh, Romeo Luchador was the other guy with their team. So they must have brought the house down because it was money everywhere. It was awesome. So wrestling to me is in full effect as far as that concerned. Now, out here in the L.A. area, we've been trying myself, Manny Pinson, and, of course, Mark Common from Paul's Photos have been steadily trying to get some stuff put together because we'd like to do one at Paul's Photos, which they have a perfect place. So we're still working on that. We're hoping as soon as we get the word from the CDC or whatever, figure out exactly what we need to do. If they could do it over there, I don't see why we can't do it over here. So we're just trying to make sure everything is legit and set to go for that. So myself and Manny have already started working on the card, what we're putting together. If it can stay this way, because you know how people switch back and forth and have other things to do or whatever. But with what we've put together, it should be a slamming show. And especially now that people are going to be able to get out and go see a show and not sit in a car and actually check it out, especially out there in that South Bay area, Torrance area, there's not that much, especially Lucha, not going on out there. So I think it's going to be slamming. So we're definitely looking forward to heading out over there. Now, with that being said, they're going to continue and keep working. Everything was so successful that they're going to go ahead and do another one. I don't know the exact date or whatever. I know it's in the near future. So they already got the call booked, ready to go. We're just waiting to get the everything set in stone, and then we'll be ready to go. So we definitely look forward to that. So the point I'm trying to make is a concerted effort to try to bring that to you people to get a little bit closer. The LA base, fan base, is huge. And when you see people who I've seen in LA hundreds of times, Alondra Campos, Dolly Esquivel, you know, Sandy Flores, people like that, they were all sitting in the front row right there, all the way out there in Laguna Hills. So they'll travel to go see some good wrestling. So we're looking to get all those people in there. So we definitely look forward to that. I'll keep everybody posted as far as social media and everything like that. I've been talking to Manny. He's making a concerted effort to get the website going so that you can go to the website and you could, you know, get the news from there. So we're steadily working on that to get everything together. So with the United Wrestling Council, we'll be putting, and we're going to showcase a lot of the SoCal wrestlers. want to give them some shine. So if we bring somebody from Mexico, like Mecha Wolf, Bestia, or somebody like that, put them with some of our SoCal guys so they can shine. That's pretty much what they're doing out there in Laguna Hills, because they mixed everybody, and it was awesome. It was really, really awesome, and the people are dying to go see a Lucha show, so we want to make sure that we take advantage of that. So we'll go ahead and take a quick break. I'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Paul's photos. I'll give DJ Vos a call, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about DJ Vos in Arizona. Hold on. Here back at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check us out every Friday from 7 to 8:30. I'm going to be talking to DJ Vos in just a few minutes, so let me just punch this in real quick here. You know, last time I got the numbers wrong and I was in big trouble, so I don't want to do that. But before we get to DJ Vos, don't forget, you can check out Paul's Photo. Far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. And located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photo will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Definitely got to go down and check out Paul's Photo. Dude, he's always busy. He's always cutting little promos or little things on his social media to tech about lighting and about different video, you know, shoots and shadows and all that stuff. They're really, really informative if that's what you're into. And let me tell you, when we did that photo shoot out there, the proof was in the pudding. They still call me to this day, asking me about how they got this picture and how they got the lighting right and stuff. As a matter of fact, I just talked to Captain Corona and Manny Mars. They're like, hey, bro, can we get a couple more pictures from the ones you gave us and stuff like that? So they're definitely down to check out Paul's Photos and get what they need. So let's give DJ Vos a call real quick so we can talk a little bit about, I don't know what happened to Jackie. She must be training or something, because I haven't been able to get a hold of her.
Hello.
Hey, DJ Vos, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you perfect. For the people listeners, don't forget, you can check us out every Friday from 7 to 8:30, United Wrestling Council Radio. Make sure you check it out. But on the line with us right now, I'm telling you, people have upped their game since people like DJ Vos have been involved. And because when you see how much this guy works, you know, he does his real estate thing, but then he's always working and trying to get bring this person from Mexico to wrestle here in Arizona. And now, I got to tell you, man, do you actually get any sleep, or do you just keep going and then just like take one day to sleep?
We actually just keep going, you know. We will sleep when we're dead, you know. That's what my mom used to say.
Hey, that's true, man. But okay, real quick, I want to talk a little bit about the show you got coming up. I want to talk about what you've been working on and stuff like that. But this is one thing I wanted to ask you. I recently did a show in Laguna Hills, and you know, it's been probably, I would say, a good 6 months since there's been any wrestling where the fans have actually been able to come in and check out the show and stuff, you know. And I've been doing this for a long time. I'm so busy, you know. I got stuff going on. Before I knew it, the show was here. So that night, you know, I put some shorts and, you know, they want everybody to wear long sleeves and stuff like that because of the virus and, you know, whatever, and went to the show. But I got to tell you, and you tell me if you noticed this yourself. I was sitting in that locker room and I was getting ready, and I saw the guys that were coming in for the main event. And man, you could just tell that these guys were in the main event. Nice brand new gear that matched, nice boots that were cleaned up. You could tell they were shined, you know, and the mascara matches the tights and everything. And when I looked at them and I'm like, damn, these guys look like professionals. I mean, I noticed it. I was like, I got to up my game. I seriously came home that night, ordered some new boots, and I'm going Sunday morning to go get some gear made because I was like, damn, I got to up my game because these guys look professional. I mean, I could really, really tell how professional they were. Do you see that when you book some of these guys and you're seeing people, you know, who you book?
Absolutely. Every single detail matters, especially in Lucha Voz. Since Lucha Voz, you know, we take pride in being a production, right? We never be in a promotion. We don't follow a traditional promotional scheme or anything else that people are doing. We always be in a production for promoters, for hire, for everything like that. Financially, we work very differently. So when I show up with luchadores or in wrestlers in general, 100% of a lot of times the people that are buying our shows see is the way they look, because a lot of times these people may not follow wrestling. They might be getting the show for other reasons. They don't know who these wrestlers are or anything. But when they see them from top to bottom, just 100% wrestlers, it automatically sells itself, right? And plus, you gotta take pride. You gotta take pride on your personality. You gotta take pride on the ring. You gotta take pride on everything you're participating on, because it's a blessing to be able to do, you know, what people do, right? First of all, it takes a lot of training, a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of strength, and it's a huge risk to get up there in the ring and wrestle.
Right, right. And you know that leading up to it, I had been for, I'm going to say, not too long, but about 4.5-5 weeks, I had been, you know, cleaning up my diet and training really hard, you know, to get ready. And I thought, man, I feel good. I'm in shape. I feel like I'm ready to go. But when I saw these guys, I mean, I was really impressed. I mean, they were in shape, tanned, you know, nice and tanned up. So I guess, you know, one good thing that came out of this COVID is you could tell a lot of people's injuries healed up or whatever, and they took a lot of time to get new gear. I mean, I was really seriously impressed, and I noticed it, you know, really how these guys really took the time and really looked really, really professional. I mean, it just stood out to me. And of course, I thought right away of DJ Bulls, because that's the type of guy he is, professional, want to make sure everything's good to go. All right. So I think since the COVID, a lot of people, that's what it's going to be. People are going to start stepping up their game and really getting out there. And since it's been such a long time, plus a lot of people are healing from injury. So I think the future is bright as far as that goes. Now, out here, Orange County has loosened up a little bit, and then you've been able to do some shows where the people can be spread apart, you know, and have to have mascaras or whatever the COVID-19 masks on. But in LA County, they still can't do them yet. So it kind of sucks, because out here in LA County, we still haven't been able to do anything. So what about yourself? Now, I know you got a show coming up November 1st. Have they made some specific guidelines for you, or what do you got to adhere to over there?
Well, ever since COVID started, it was, you know, it was really, really hard for us, you know, especially the way we work and all the contracts that we already had. We had about 15 shows already lined up that got canceled for 2020. It was about 15 shows around the nation. You know, we were coming to Vegas. We were doing other cities like, I believe it was in Idaho. We were going all the way possibly to New York. And then, you know, COVID happened, right? All these bookings that we had just kind of dropped. Now that we kind of recovered a little bit and things are going a little bit more to the new normal, right? We actually went through hell and back just getting the city permits. This show was already supposed to happen, you know, about 6 months ago. We were supposed to be getting ready for this show. We had no idea if we were able to make it happen. We had to take this show from the inside to the outside, which at first it was going to be a Lucha Wrestling Day of the Dead theme show, to now it's an actual, you know, open to the public free event celebration, right? More of a festival.
Right, right. Yeah, I see that. And it's still November 1st, right? Sunday, November 1st?
Absolutely. Sunday, November 1st in Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah, and it's going to be at the Sun Studios of Arizona. Now, is that your place, or because you do quite a few shows there? Is that just some place that you hold your shows, or do you have some sort of part in that, or whatever? Because you do quite a bit out of there.
It's actually some studios of Arizona. I believe it's like they're professional movie studios, professional stage, and they're used a lot. They're in partnership with Arizona State University with ASU. This is where all the film students, where all the acting students, or you know, in that genre, they come and they do their training, they do their classes there, and also, due to the nature of the building, it's great to do wrestling shows. That's what we do most of the wrestling shows. It looks great. It's soundproof. It's not very big, but, you know, it works perfectly for what we do. And since, you know, it's going to be very restricted if we do this show in the inside due to the capacity, we decided to take it out to the parking lot of the building.
Oh. Well, that frees up some room, though. I mean, a little. Well, I don't know. Does it free up a lot more room for your people? Because you got to spread people out, right?
Absolutely. We have maybe about, you know, 3/4 acre to work now. So we have a ton of booths being set up. We have food vendors. We have a car show. There's about 35 lowrider car shows that are going to be in line right by the entrance. And we're going to have like fire eaters, flamenco, zumba, cumbia group. So it is still a wrestling show. It's 100% like focused wrestling show, but now we're able to integrate a lot more entertainment due to the fact that we have it outside.
Yeah, that's so you can make a whole day, you know, just to check out the luchas and check out all the stuff that they got going on. So definitely want to check that out. It's a Day of the Dead bicultural celebration. It's Sunday, November 1st at the Sun Studios of Arizona in Tempe. That, to me, that sounds like it's going to be slamming. Now, real quick before we let you go, because we're running up against the clock as usual, I was going on your social media. It looks like you're starting to establish a relationship with Conan. Can you divulge a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've always been trying to take Lucha Libre Voz to the next level.
Right.
We are very indie, and we came out of straight out of the hood. I'm not even gonna lie. We were straight up on the hood of in West Phoenix, and then we took this thing national as far as production. But it came to a level where you know, we kind of topped off. Now, for the last year, I've been trying to take it up to the next level as far as talent. You know, you've seen the rosters that we work with on the last year right before COVID, Lucha Brothers, Brian Cage, Jack Evans, Drago, Daga, and all the major names, you know, we were doing really good, but it's time to take it up to the next level, right? But, you know, like I said in the post, I came to the realization that I know absolutely nothing of the next level, right? So.
Yeah.
How am I going to make this happen when I never learn what the next level even looks like? If I was to get to the next level, would I be able to handle it? And I got to be wise about it, right? So if you remember, and the last time we were on your show, we started working. We had a little proposal going on with Vampiro. And we were trying to work something out. However, due to his situation and the situation that is going with him, we weren't able to work something in concrete, right? Especially after some shows got canceled due to the restrictions and everything like that, kind of fell apart. Then I started talking to Conan in a more deep level. So now Conan is right now, as of now, he's a major role in Lucha Libre Voz, where we're kind of partnering up to take this to the next level.
You know, for the people listening to us who aren't familiar with Conan, who most of them are, he's, you know, the major player that's bridged the gap between pro wrestling and Lucha Libre. He's the one. It's funny because I watched a documentary for Paul Heyman, who was the innovator of ECW, and he told me, he said, hey, man, I got to do something different. You know, I want to bring some Lucha guys in here. So I called Conan, and he said, dude, I'm going to send you Rey Mysterio. I'm going to send you Psicosis. He goes, they were barely in the ring for about maybe 4.5-5 minutes, and Paulie was going, when can we bring him back? When can we bring him back? So he was the one that bridged that gap between pro wrestling and Lucha Libre, and he's still going today. I mean, you know, I've got him a few times when Lucha Underground started. I got him on tape and all, because he was always one of the main players that they would go to, you know, to bring the luchadores when they were taking him to a next level. So when you say that, well, I want to go to the next level, that's, to me, that's who you would go to do that. So, hey, man, I think that's great. I think that's going to be a good working relationship, especially for somebody like Conan who keeps it 100. When he sees somebody like you, like DJ Vos, how hard he works, he'll definitely be like, yeah, man, this guy works hard. Let's get this going and let's do that. So I think it's just going to just blossom from even there. So I think it was pretty good. This is what I'm talking, not just because I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. People go, hey, you're always putting that dude over, man. Is that because he comes on your show? I said, no, man. I go, that dude works hard. I go, if you're going to work hard and you're trying to get your stuff out there, I'm going to support you, man. Because the one thing that I want to happen in this world is for as many people to know about Lucha Libre as possible, because I think it's the greatest sport, you know, ever in the world or whatever. So somebody like that that's willing to make the steps to bring it to the next level, I'm all for it, man. So I think you got something here, man. I really think you got something going here. So we definitely look forward to you bringing this Day of the Dead show to us. So do me a favor, keep in touch. Let me know how everything's going with Conan, and you know, when you keep moving forward and moving up, we'll definitely promote it on here, man, and get those people out there. We got to make a trip down to Arizona, because it's starting to become the hotbed of luchas and stuff. Because a lot of people, I was talking to Mecha Wolf at what he's doing a signing out here, and we were talking a lot about that. And we're going to Arizona, and he's going all over the place. So it's out there. You know what I mean? It's mentioned it. So real quick, for the people listening, make sure you check out DJ Vos. Got the big Day of the Dead bicultural celebration coming up. It's Sunday, November 1st at the Sun Studios of Arizona, and that's going to be in Tempe, Arizona. Hey, a million thank yous for coming on. It is always, hey, siempre es un gran placer. You know, usted tiene un mensaje para toda la gente mexicana se habla español?
Claro que sí, un mensaje para toda mi raza, que sí se puede, los sueños se hacen realidad. Un sueño sin tomar acción es solamente una ilusión.
For sure. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. We definitely look forward to seeing what's happening in the future. So just keep in touch and let us know for sure. All right, my man?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And big shout out to everybody listening. Keep supporting podcasts like this, programs like this, because this becomes the core of everything that we do.
Absolutamente. Hey, well, I look forward to it. I got to get out there in Arizona to check out one of them shows for sure. So for the people listening, make sure you check out DJ Vos on his social media. Keeps everybody posted up there, and we look forward to that big show coming up. All right, man, I'll talk to you soon. That DJ Vos is always working, man. He's always getting everything out there. So somebody else who's always working and making stuff look good is Yards After Contact. Yards After Contact, you got to check out their printing service, apparel, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com, and also check out their Facebook page. Great pictures of some of their work, especially the custom UWC shirts modeled by our own Manny Pinson. That's Yards After Contact. Get your custom gear today. Yeah, you got to check out some of the stuff. He's got polo shirts, and he's got regular button-down shirts and stuff like that. So you definitely want to check them out because they got some good stuff. And those cornhole molds, I'm telling you, man, go on the Facebook page. Check out the pictures up there. I saw the one that was Long Beach and also the one that was Raiders. I mean, it's cool because I thought it was just a little like a little sticker that they put on there, but they do the whole board. And I mean, it is really clean. We talked a little bit about that. He wants to make a custom one. Manny wants to make a custom one for when we play Chop Trivia or whatever. So we're going to definitely be getting in touch with Yards After Contact. But let's give John Thomas a call real quick so we can talk some serious wrestling. I want to talk to him a little bit about this gear, too. This gear is off the charts. Don't know what happened to Jackie. Let's see if Dallas right here. Hello? Oh, there we go. Sorry, it took me a minute.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, John, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at United Wrestling Council Radio. You can join us here every Friday from 7 to 8:30. We're going to be talking to John Thomas, talking a little bit about some grappling and stuff like that. But before we get started, Jackie, I don't know what happened. I sent you the call-in number, so hopefully if you're listening and you forgot or you're training or whatever, call that number that I left on your phone so we can talk a little bit about the Senior Nationals. So real quick before we get into talking to John about blue-collar wrestling and stuff like that, were you familiar with that, John, that Jackie went to the Senior Nationals for Olympic wrestling?
Yes, yes, yes. I've been following and supporting. I've been off of social media a little bit lately, but I definitely was following.
Yeah, well, you know, she went out to Iowa, and she competed in the Senior Nationals or whatever, and she placed fifth. Now, you know, I've known her dad since I was 13, since I was a kid. We grew up together. He wrestled at Long Beach Jordan and just, you know, continued on from there. And he's the one who got me into coaching at Millikan High School. So it's, you know, it's in the blood. And I've seen Jackie since she was just a pup. So when you get to that level, when we get to the national level like that, and you come in fifth place, you know, I've seen Jackie in action and I'm like, how can this girl ever get beat? You know? So when you get to that level, is it just a matter of technique, or is it a matter of stamina, or can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I made it to pretty far second day CIF, so I didn't make it quite to the national level. But wrestling has to be your life at a certain point past like CIF, and when you start making it on like the national stage, you have to completely love it and you have to dedicate your life to it. And Jackie was, I think, a freshman when I was a senior, and her dad was running the Millikan program, and they were hands down just stumping everybody. Clearly, their program was amazing. Kendall Lemez and Chris Saunders. Chris Saunders fought on a MMA on one of the UFC TV shows. Really good wrestler.
Right.
Had a really good inside trip. But yeah, at that level, man, I think it's a combination of conditioning, technique. But I think what sets apart everyone is you have to legit love the sport, and that has to be your life. That has to be your main focus. Because I know that's where I dropped off at. Because it just I didn't want it to consume my life at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and it's true like you say, because even back then when the kids were going to Millikan, he had a little dojo that was not too far from, it's right up of Los Coyotes and I can't remember the street right there, but they would go from school, they'd do their homework, and then they would train that night and then go home and go to sleep. So it was like, you know, just consistent. It was like part of your life, you know, kind of like the Muay Thai people. Do you know how that becomes their job and they just stay there all the time and they just train Muay Thai? It was like that. It was just constant training and it was like second nature to them or whatever. But when you say that, when you say, you know, you got to be dedicated, you know, to get to that level or whatever. I read Kurt Angle's biography and I read the part where he was saying that he went to Russia to go compete. He goes, and you know, I had been training, I had been running. I mean, I was in such good shape. And when I lost to a Russian guy, he goes, I was getting ready to go home, and when I'm waiting for the shuttle to take me to the airport, I see those guys, and they're all smoking cigarettes and drinking vodka. And he goes, and I told myself, I will never lose again to somebody who's just sitting there smoking cigarettes and drinking vodka. So that, you know, made me really up my game and get going or whatever. So, you know, it's true like you say. You know, you got to really be dedicated to get to that next level. She was supposed to come on, but, you know, what happens is, especially on Fridays, people forget, you know, because a lot of people train, you know, from 7 to like 8:15 or 8:30. So hopefully she's training or doing something so that, because she forgot to be on, but no big deal. So anyways, wanted to talk a little bit about that, and I wanted to talk a little bit about training now, because, you know, the COVID, they've lightened up a little bit in Orange County, but still out here in Long Beach, which is considered L.A. County, everything's still closed. I haven't been able to go to the, you know, the weightlifting gym forever. We've been training grappling out in the patio area with the mats and stuff like that. And you can't really spar because we don't want to, you know, we don't have the thick mats that you use, you know, when you go spar at the gym. So what about yourself? Are you still able to train, or has it still been tightened up on you? Or how's the training going right about now?
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. And I don't want to be a negative person, but
yeah,
it's kind of crazy because if you pass, think about this imaginary line that's like LA County and Orange County.
Yeah.
And it's like
don't
you can watch people, you can watch people live their dream and compete and train. And then you're on this line and you're like, I can't do it. So what I do is I go out to Orange County a couple of days a week and train with some of my buddies. And I'm also doing some outside training, like in an outside setup with mats, and we have the mask on, and it's extremely difficult to properly train that way. But at the same time, I just feel like I have to do something, because I don't know if you remember, I was competing every single weekend in jiu-jitsu right before the pandemic, and I came off that real good Fight to Win show. So I lost, you know, I gained a lot of weight back, and because it's just I wasn't active, so I just started getting active. I got back in to CrossFit. I'm doing these CrossFit workouts where it's properly social distance, but I'm back training now. And if I have to go to Orange County 3 days a week, and if I have to train with masks on, that's just, you know, what it's going to be, because this is what I committed to. And I'm excited, man. And I don't know if you know this, but did you hear that IBJJF is going to start about heel hooks in competition?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. So that's going to bring a whole different game. You know, people are going to be well, the one thing I hate, and we talked about this before on the show, is people that drop down into guard and start trying to grab those legs. And that's been the controversy for 17 years I've been doing this. And that's been the controversy for years. Oh, everything should, you know, you should try to work for your takedown. You shouldn't just drop down to your butt school. And you should always wrestle with the gi. And, you know, there's so many different people out there that you know, have to say that it has to be a specific way. Give me your thoughts on that. To me, you should be well-rounded to be able to, you know, to work around a leg lock or do a leg lock and, all, you know, be skilled in all facets, right? I mean, it just makes sense, right?
Yeah, you know what? I can give you an honest perspective on that. And I don't know if it's because I got a little bit older, just turned 35, but my perspective has changed. I used to really get upset when people pulling guard. You remember Burrum Bolo? The like outside or inverted De La Riva came around and everyone was just pulling guard and going to 50-50. But you just got to look at it like, okay, what's your goal? If you're going to fight MMA, then I would suggest a butt scoot and leg lock game. But if you're going to fight MMA, I would say top game, wrestling, takedown, pressure, right? The same thing kind of goes for like judo players. You know, if you do judo, you know, you want to go in and get your throw. It just really depends on what your jiu-jitsu or what you're grappling or what your martial arts is catered towards. And no matter what you do, like think about boxing with like Floyd Mayweather, a lot of people think he's boring and they think he's uninteresting. But if you really look at it, like he has a great defense, like, and a lot of people get frustrated and they cannot deal with his defense. And one more thing to look at is he takes the least amount of damage and he's able to compete for all these years. He's doing it the smart way. It may not be what fans like, but, you know, to each his own.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to tell you, if you don't mind,
Go ahead.
Is depending on your body build, certain moves work, certain moves don't work. You know, jiu-jitsu, like Brazilian jiu-jitsu traditionally was like closed guard, arm bar, triangle. Where if you're short and stocky like me, a lot of those techniques, you can know them inside out, but at the high level, they don't work. I've caught more high-level people with leg locks than any other submission. And it's just because they add a certain danger, and it just, for me personally, I feel like it levels playing fields, you know?
Yeah. It does, and that does make sense. You know, and like I said, that's been the controversy for a long time, especially like when Eddie Bravo first started bringing EBI to the forefront. You know, people were like, oh, that's not jiu-jitsu in its pure form and all that. And then it was funny because when I would have people from 10th Plan on, I go, you know, I hate that whole 10th Plan thing because I'm fat. I can't do it. You know, and they're like, no, man, you have to understand. You just come and it's not that, you know, difficult. You just have to stick with it and everything like that. And like I said before, when I've had you on before, to me, I tried to, you know, the two seminars I took was Randy Couture and Jeff Munson, because they were wrestling based, you know, or whatever. And I took quite a bit from just from those. And I also worked with Kenny Johnson. Kenny Johnson does bolt wrestling. He used to work with the, well, I think he still is over at Black House or whatever. But just, you know, so much I learned just from those, you know, seminars and taking from it. But now, like, okay, let me just say, I know I probably told you this before, but I didn't believe in judo at all. And when I got tossed by Rhonda's, no, my partner got tossed by Rhonda's mom. We stayed, went to Gracie Barra and did a live show out there for her seminar. And we actually stayed to see the seminar. And when I saw her throw these guys, that it made me a believer. You know what I mean? So I thought you have to be well-rounded in everything just to be able to get to the level that you're at, especially for somebody like you that's got to that specific level. So, and everybody says, hey, man, regardless of how far you get, you're always learning. You know, you always learn, you know, for whatever. So with that being said, this is a question I have for you. Do you like to stay at one particular place, you know, and learn there? Or is it better for you to go to different dojos and get different looks at different people to really bring your game to another level? Or you give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, personally, it's no secret. I've moved around a lot. I've trained at a bunch of different places. And I never liked that thought of someone telling me, like, I can't go anywhere. And, you know, people can throw out that Creange term or that trader term. But it's like, at the end of the day, I work hard. I pay my money, so I'm entitled to do what I want to do. And, again, it comes down to opinions. But I will tell you this. A lot of people, they get kind of stuck in their way and how they came up. And I think a lot of people who try to make you stay in one place or don't want you to go somewhere else, it's one of two things. Either they have like an insecurity, they have something to hide, or secondly, they just really don't want to lose you to anybody else. And if you talk to any of my students, I always tell them, hey, go train at Noah Tillotson, hey, go train with Tim Planet, you know, hey, go train at Carson Gracie Irvine, like, because I've learned so much. And I wanted to tell you this too. I don't want to go too off subject, but you know, I came from a wrestling background, and then I fell in love with gi, and I trained and competed a lot of gi. I competed in gi from every belt, from white through black. I thought I knew no gi. I thought I had the grips down until I went to Tim Planet Long Beach. And it's like their arm drag grips or their wrist grips or their head grip or the way they break your posture from rubber guard. It's like a system, right? And I'm going to be honest with you. I used to laugh at Eddie Brown when they were like stoner control. Like, it just seems so goofy. But then when you go and you got like white belts to like black belts just like catching you with stuff or putting me in uncomfortable positions, like, there was a white belt named Marcel. I hope these guys are listening. But this guy is a white belt, and he moves like a black belt. He continues to attack. He never stops attacking you. And I can, like, dominate positions, but at the end of the day, like, if it was a super fight or ABI rules, he would beat me because he's forcing me to defend his game. He's just forcing his game in my face. But what I want to stress is you should go train. You should go do seminars. You should try to meet and train with as many people as you can because you never know what you can learn and what you can take from someone. That's my personal opinion for, you know, been grappling for 15 years and bounced around quite a few places.
Yeah. And I agree, you know, just because when I was with Tap Out, especially when I was with Tap Out and especially when I was with On the Mat, I didn't get to do too much with Sinister because, you know, Ed sort of kind of only had us for like a year and then he sold the company. But we would go to these places and I would see so many different looks. And of course, they took it easy on me, you know, or whatever. But just so many people have different techniques and just different ways that they do. So you get a lot of different looks and you learn a lot of different things from a lot of different people. So I agree. I agree 100%. I don't know why anybody would say, no, I got to, you know, specifically stay here. Saad Awad fought yesterday at Bellator and he had left a millennia for a while and he came back. And he said, no, I, it's not that I hate anybody. I just wanted to go, you know, try some new stuff, get some different looks. And, you know, now I'm back or whatever. So, you know, I think that's probably going to be the norm now that people are going to start doing that. Now, in your opinion, to me, the hotbed of MMA has always been Albuquerque, you know, New Mexico. But I don't know. I think it's starting to turn a little. There's a lot of people in the Midwest now that are starting to blossom or whatever. So let's say, for instance, you know, you start doing MMA, it blows up, and you're like, man, I gotta really up my game. Would you do something like that? Like maybe move to go to Jackson Wink, or maybe go to Vegas to go train over there, or what would you, your specific self? Would you do that, or would you just kind of stay in the area?
Yeah, you know, to answer that honestly, because I remember back in the day when they had like the military fighting system, they had like the Minnesota Mixed Martial Arts Academy. You
Yeah.
know, it was a lot of those, like a hotbed of Matt Hughes and those wrestlers. But current day speaking, yeah, it would come down to this. If I felt like I was in my gym, I couldn't get a certain look. Like, say I'm fighting a jiu-jitsu specialist that likes to play rubber guard. If no one can offer
Yeah.
me that look of rubber guard or that close guard game, I need to go outside. You know, even if it's like a month or two, or maybe, you know, we could bring someone in from over there. We can pay a guy to come train. But yeah, you need, if you're in high level MMA, like honestly high level like UFC, or yeah, you're gonna have to get that higher level of training. And I would tell you, when I knew I was gonna have the fight to win stage, I wasn't growing where I was at. It clearly, like I was not growing. My results were showing. And when I went to, you know, 10 Planet, it was these guys fight for submission. There's no stalling with them. Like every round is a fight for submission. And it changed my game, and my game was molded. Like I'm a black belt. I came to them as a black belt. I've been taking people down and passing guards for 14 years, you know. And I changed my game. I'm like, I can't just be stagnant like this, you know. And the owner Chai was saying that, and I didn't take this personal. This is another thing too. I think a lot of people take things personal, especially men. He was telling me that, like, you know, you can hold someone down. Like you can grab someone and hold them down, and that can work all the way up through purple belt. He goes, but when you get a decent purple belt, you know, just holding someone down, it's not going to accomplish much, you know. And it's the same thing if, you know, say from a self-defense point of view, you're holding someone down, what's going to happen if somebody else come and kick you? Or what's going to happen if this person managed to get up to his feet and they have better cardio than you? You know, the end game should be finishing the fight, you know.
Yeah, man, that makes a lot of sense. Can you hold on real quick? I gotta take a quick break, but I want to talk to you about the new spats and rash guards and stuff that you get out. Hold on, can you hold on just real quick?
Sure.
Hang on, we'll be right back. Yeah, talking a little bit of grappling and 10th Planet and everything with John Thomas. But real quick for the people listeners, don't forget to check out Paul's Photo. Far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photos will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help you with all your camera and video needs. Make sure you check that out. You know, real quick, I want to talk about this gear that you got, because I just noticed it when I was getting ready to get you on air. But before we get into that, here's one thing I want to ask you too. I want to get your perspective. I'm a huge Yoel Romero fan. I mean, I call that guy like a miracle of modern science, because the dude is just like always in shape, and he looks like a beast. And when you see him, when he gets tired and he shoots that double and tries to get people down, to me, why is that not the game plan? I mean, he's such a good wrestler. It seems to me like you would want to close the distance, get him down, and either pound him out or look for a submission. But, man, he wants to stand and bang with people. Do you think once they get to a certain point or they feel a knockout, they feel that that's what they need to do, or that they think that – like somebody like Ben Askren got just trampled on for years, saying, oh, he's boring and all that, but that's what he would do. He's going to stay with this game. He's going to get you down, and he's just going to keep that weight on you and either get the submission or pound you out. When I see Yoel Romero, I just think, man, just close that distance. Get him to the ground. You're gonna do damage. Give me your thoughts on that.
It's me and a couple of my wrestling buddies, we all, like, fall back on conversation. And my honest opinion, I think it is UFC's culture. Like, you're rewarded so heavy for knockout, for standing up and banging. Let me give you an example. You could have a slugfest, right? And you can get the brakes beat off of you for, like, you know, five-minute rounds, and you'll still get called back again and again and again, right? But then you could have a fight where you lose a decision, but you out-wrestle the guy, you outshine him. Even you can even win this fight. Like, John Finch was, like, on a winning streak when he got, like,
oh, yeah,
the UFC. you know, very slow, very boring, but I love that style. Like that style, you know, GSP showed the greatness of that style. But I really think it comes down to culture. And then I think when you're in there, you know, when you're throwing the punches, like a lot of these guys, you know, the ego's going, they're drilling, it's pumping, you know, the alpha male syndrome kick in, you know, that, you know, coding into men's DNA of that fight, that adrenaline. I think it comes down to a handful of those things. The reward, if you knock out, you get the bonus, you're guaranteed to come back, you're guaranteed sponsors. However, on the other side, if you put on a slow, boring fight, you can get cut even if you're winning. So I think it's more of the culture of UFC than it is anything. That's just my personal opinion.
You know, when I was at On the Mat and I had that radio show, I had Sean Sherk on my show, and that dude was the epitome of just a hardcore wrestling based, just stocky, you know, they used to call him the muscle shark. And when I had him on, I was saying, you know, it seems like back then you had to be, you know, a badass fighter to be in the UFC, like at the top of your game. And now it's more like a business, and they have to produce a certain amount of fights, you know, to keep the TV contracts. And he goes, let me tell you something. I was undefeated. He goes, and my first loss was to Matt Hughes. And I got cut. He goes, so if there's anything, you know, he goes, I was undefeated and I had one loss to Matt Hughes and I got cut. He goes, that's why I went to Japan for a little while or whatever. So he goes, hell yeah, they've really changed since then or whatever. And I kind of get it because, you know, they have to, you know, keep it a business. Here's before we get into talking about your gear, because I really like the spats and the rash guard and the COVID-19 mess. I want to talk a little bit about that. But before we get done with that, oh, my God, I completely lost track of what I was going to say. God darn it, it was important, too. So, anyways, I completely lost my train of thought. But talk about that. I was checking you out before we had you on air, and I saw all the new gear. Now, first you said it took a while to get it here, but I finally got it here. This is what I like. I like the spats and the rash guards that just say, you know, jiu-jitsu or pro wrestling or wrestling, you know, or whatever. I like that. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that style, it was, you know, made up in my head. I created the image, the logo. You know, a guy that used to work at, I don't know if he'd want me to put it out there, but a guy who I think was affiliated with Tap Out or maybe worked with Tap Out, he made the actual Blue Collar logo. And the person who makes them is actually a good friend of mine. We were white girls back in the day at Brazilian Top Team. And he makes
the one
that's really
cool. The one that's single heel?
Yeah, the one in Signal Hill, but when we did it, it was over off of 7th and 1 Apparel, and then it moved to, like, Exhibit.
Yeah, right by the 7-Eleven. Yeah, I remember
that.
And then it was 7-Eleven and a Pizza Hut or something right next to it, and then they moved over to Signal Hill. I think they're still over here at Signal Hill or whatever. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that was the same thing.
Yeah, just that's the same one. And he's since moved, and he's moved on. He's got his black belt, too. But I've had quite a few issues trying to get things in from overseas. I don't know if you know, but that's generally what everyone does is they get everything made overseas and they get it shipped in. And there's so many issues, and I don't even want to go into detail. You don't have enough time for me to tell you all the stuff that goes wrong. But he makes things here, but he gets his material from overseas. And my rash guards that he's made, they breathe well, they feel good. Everyone has bought one, they love the way they feel. And I've had mine for almost 2 years now. And I train 4 days a week. I'm teaching 4 days a week, and no tears, no rips, no fades, no nothing. So that one that you saw, I was supposed to get that for my next super fight after Fight to Win, which was supposed to be in April. And it got lost in shipping. A lot of companies, especially like import export, they use COVID-19 like as an excuse for anything. They can say they're short staffed. They can say they never made it. And, you know, when stuff get held up in customs, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. So a lot of people want gear right now. And to be honest with you, I've been doing a lot of, I don't want to say soul searching, but I've been doing a lot of thinking, and I want to shift my focus more into like an apparel, because jiu-jitsu is be that as your income and our business, is very unstable. So as much as I want to get this stuff into people's hands, like, I want to get you some stuff too, man. I really got to be on hold with it, because right now it's up in the air. Like, I placed the order, and my guy makes it. He just told me, I'm being honest with you, like, people can use an excuse. So, you know, I just have to let you know when I know.
Yeah. No problem. Believe me, I know exactly what you're talking about, because in my regular job, I've been a materials manager, purchasing agent for a major medical outpatient surgery center, and I hear that every day. Oh, everybody's working from home now, and you know I can't get it to you, and because of the COVID, I can't get you this, but you can buy my brand or whatever, you know. So I deal with that all the time. So believe me, I know exactly what you're talking about. But let me tell you something. Once you get everything set and everything's ready to roll, I'll definitely go and buy a pair of those spats because I think those are pretty cool. So I'm just saying that, right? Not just because you're on the show or whatever, but when it's stuff like that, you know, I'm like, hey, that stuff like that, I like stuff that's just are you familiar with a company called Konka Fight Gear?
I haven't heard of them, no.
If you get a chance, check them out because they're very out of the box. Like, you know, the San Francisco Giants, they have a baseball team. So they have a gi that's like black with orange piping, and the logo looks like, I mean, it's just really out of the box. So when I see something like that, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to get that because when I like something or whatever, I'm definitely going to get it. So I see it, I like it, you know, but I completely understand it takes a while to get everything set or whatever. So, and plus, is the goal to one of these days finally get your own dojo and teach your own students or just to win the championships right off into the sunset? What's the ultimate goal?
Yeah. That was my plan. One of my biggest goals was always to have my own academy and teach my students. And I've been doing it on and off, and I've had highs and lows. And I reached a certain age where it's kind of like you have to look at reality. And to be honest with you, a lot of what I've held on to was just my pride, just to say I can do it no matter what, I'll do it. And then it gets to a point where, you know, I have a daughter, I have a family now, and it's not okay to take away from that, you know. Right now, my goal, I still have a bunch of students that have stood by me through thick and thin, so I'm still going to be there with them, you know. I'm going to keep running the program, but I definitely have an itch to get back to competition, man. Like, I want to compete so bad, but traveling to Texas right now is not an option right now, or traveling outside of California.
Well, hopefully this COVID stuff will be over soon. And when it is, everybody's just going to be itching to get back, you know, into the – and this is – when I had my guest on before you, this is what I was talking to him about. The one thing for this COVID, a lot of the wrestlers, the pro wrestlers and the luchadores have been getting over their injuries and stuff like that. So I did a show in out there in Mission Viejo, out in that area, and the guys looked – in shape. I thought it was in shape. They were in shape. The gear looked nice. Everything. I mean, they really, you know, looked professional. So I think, because this was the first show that people were actually allowed to go to. Of course, it was in Orange County. And you know, so it was packed and everybody looked like spot on. So I think the same with jiu-jitsu competition and grappling tournaments and stuff like that. I think once this whole COVID is over, everybody's going to be just ready to roll and just ready to really get it out there. And of course, John Thomas will definitely be in the thick of things. Hey man, I appreciate you coming on. You know, it's good to be able to talk to somebody who, you know, keeps it 100% real, you know, because that's what we try to do here. And I personally, man, I think grappling, you know, jiu-jitsu, all that, I think because I've done it and I've seen how hard it is one of the greatest sports ever. And I gotta tell you too, talk about that opening your own dojo and stuff like that, the 5+ years that I coached at Milliken were like the most joyous years I've ever had. To see a kid that's getting killed, you know, just keep working and coming up and doing well, I mean, that meant more to me than, you know, some of my other accomplishments or whatever. I mean, when you see somebody, you know, blossom into, you know, like, in other words, I've had guys that are sophomores that have beat the varsity guy, you know, for the blue and gold team or whatever. And I mean, it really does a lot for you. So I kind of see what you're saying. It'd be nice to open a place, you know, so that they could, you, like, for lack of a better term, pass it up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, definitely understand. And like you said, there's no better feeling, you know, when someone come to you and be like, you know, this is my happy place. You know, this helped me in my personal life. It's the best feeling in the world. But I want to tell you, man, I absolutely love this show, and I absolutely love the Wrestle Boss gear. So I'll get with you off air because I definitely want to get one of those shirts.
I will send you a Wrestle Boss gear. You just send me text me your address, and we'll definitely send you one out. Let me tell you something. Those things are selling. Like, for some reason, the people like the red over black, so I don't have any of those. I have some white over black and stuff like that. But we'll get you one out, man. Just shoot me your address, and I'll send you a package for sure.
Sounds like a plan, boss man. Well, thanks again, and again, I can't wait for the next time, man. I make time for this show.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, man, we appreciate you coming on. For the people listening, make sure you check out John Thomas. If you want to check him out on his social media, just put John Thomas in your little Facebook engine. He keeps people up to date. You can check out all that new gear and stuff that he's showing us, some the COVID-19 masks and stuff like that, which hopefully we'll get everything comes to fruition. We'll be able to get that out. So make sure you check that out. Hey, Amin, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. For the people listening, make sure you check out John Thomas. We'll be right back after this. Thank you, my man.
Take care, buddy.
Man, that John Thomas has a lot going on, and he's, for lack of a better term, that dude's a beast, man. He gets in there and quickness shoots them single legs, man, and reaches for the sun and takes you to the promised land. So make sure you check out his stuff. But for the people listening, don't forget, something else you got to check out is that Yards After Contact. Got to check out Yards After Contact's printing service, apparel, and, of course, the custom cornhole boards. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com. And you can check out their Facebook page with great pictures of some of their work. I'm telling you, go to that Facebook page and check out some of those pics. You will be sold, I'm telling you. Especially the custom UWC shirts modeled by our own Manny Pinson. That's Yards After Contact. Get your custom gear today. Yards After Contact. Make sure you check that out. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. Hopefully we'll get that one made pretty soon so that we can do some chop trivia and show you what we're talking about. We'll head over to Paul's Photos and have a whole big day over there. So, hey, man, big ups to John Thomas for coming on and talk. I like to get that guy on because he keeps it real, man, and really lets us know what's going on. Plus, he's out here with me in Long Beach, so he can't go wrong. Also, DJ Vos, make sure you check out his big show. He's got that big show coming up in Arizona if you're out in that area. Again, I think it's free. It's a whole, or maybe you pay one price for admission to get in, and you get to check everything out. So that's Day of the Dead Bicultural Celebration. It's Sunday, November 1st at the Sun Studios of Arizona in Tempe. If you check out DJ Vos in your social media, you can get all the information there, as well as John Thomas. Make sure you check him out. He should be competing pretty soon. Always in shape, always training. He's ready to go, so you definitely want to check him out. Jackie, if you're listening, hey, hopefully get you on next week or whatever, because we'd really like to talk about those national championships that you were competing at. And of course, the Iowas look beautiful, the pictures that I saw from there. So we definitely look forward to that. So for the people listeners, don't forget, every Friday from 7 to 8:30, I usually say 7 to 8:30, we're usually out by 8, but I keep that half hour in case we want to go over. I was going to talk about AEW, but I was going to talk to a certain particular wrestler so we can bounce back and forth, but he wasn't able to come on. So we'll talk about it another time. So definitely going to speak our mind a little bit about on that. So for the people that are listening to us, make sure you check us out every Friday. I had a great time, man. It's always a pleasure to have these people on. We look forward to seeing you all next week, and we'll talk to you then. Thank you.